白宫驱速行动将在24小时内配送疫苗。国务卿蓬佩奥再度就来自中国的威胁和挑战发表讲话。副总统彭斯宣布了美国首批两个太空军基地。12月10号星期四，欢迎收看美国观察，我是卡拉。特朗普政府向国会提交了新冠纾困计划，不过被国会众议院退回，表示这份计划违背了国会两党之前达成的共识。负责新冠疫苗的白宫驱速行动小组表示，疫苗批准的24小时之内就能将疫苗配送到需要的地方。详细情况我们请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是啊，这个特朗普总统呢，他的政府，我们知道这个经济纾困方案他已经向国会提出了，那这个价值总值是9160亿美元的经济纾困方案。那负责向国会提出这个案子的财政部长姆努钦表示呢，这个方案是经过白宫还有参议院的多数党领袖以及这个众议院的少数党领袖共同同意提出的方案。那众议院的这个少数党领袖呢，共和党籍的麦卡锡众议员就告诉彭博社说，在这个方案当中呢，包括每一个美国人可以获得一次性的600美元的纾困金，而已婚的伴侣呢，他们则可以获得1200美元，儿童呢，每个人是600美元。那么3月的时候呢，国会所通过的这个 CARES Act 这个法案当中呢，一个人则是可以获得1200美元。那个上个星期呢，参议院两党达成共识的草案架构当中，则是包括了每个星期有300美元的联邦失业救济金。不过呢，白宫提出来这个新的方案，则是把这笔钱给删除了。那么国会众议院呢，在星期二下午收到这份草案之后，在晚上随即就把它退回了。那么议长佩洛西以及参议院的少数党领袖舒默参议员发表了共同声明，说总统的提案一开始就将失业救济保险从1800亿美元大砍到剩下400亿美元，而这是众议院以及参议院当中两党协商过的。佩洛西说呢，这样的提案是不可被接受的。而之前呢，这个 CARES Act 在疫情失业协助还有因疫情失业津贴的部分呢，都即将在12月26号终止。而因为交不出房租或房贷而面临被赶出住屋的保护呢，在7月15号已经失效了。不过当时特朗普总统呢，则是签署了行政命令，要求美国的 CDC， 也就是疾病控制预防中心呢，继续为民众提供协助。而美国众议院呢，将会在星期三进行表决，让联邦政府呢能够在12月18号之前暂时获得可以继续运作的经费。此外呢，负责新冠疫苗事务的取速行动小组星期三的下午呢举办了背景简报会，宣布呢除了美国物流公司如 UPS、 联邦快递 FedEx 还有连锁药局包括了 Walgreens 跟 CVS 将协助配送跟施打疫苗之外呢，美国国防部也会参与协助。而在国防部的网站上呢，则表示说在美国的各州还有美军海外驻地的日本、韩国、这个德国等美军基地呢，都会协助疫苗的配送。国防部表示呢，将会有43875剂的疫苗来提供给第一批接种的美军人员。而取速行动小组的资深官员在今天简报会上表示呢，在疫苗批准之后，在24小时之内就可以透过刚才所说的这个完整的体系，将疫苗配送到所需要的地方。此外呢，我们知道在英国有2名医护人员在接种了这个美国的辉瑞药厂的疫苗之后，出现了过敏的不良反应。那么在星期三的这个取速行动的背景简报会上呢，资深官员说他们跟英国方面接触了解的结果呢，是说这两个人本身就有敏感的体质。而资深官员也说呢，现在这个疫苗是经历过3万个志愿者长达60天的测试那么来达成的。那么一般来说呢，要确保疫苗也能够有长期性的安全性，需要经过好几年的观察跟研究。不过呢，在取速行动之下要讲究速度，所以呢，现在进行的是药物警戒项目，也就是呢，民众一边来接种这个疫苗，一边呢，这个 CDC 跟各州的地方政府进行合作，来积极观察施打疫苗之后民众的反应。那此外呢，资深官员也表示，辉瑞药厂跟莫德纳公司的疫苗都要施打2剂才会见效，辉瑞的2剂之间要相隔21天，莫德纳要相隔28天，所以疫苗的配送时间点很重要。而官员说呢，这个是依据科学能够建立最有效的 免疫功能，建议民众到时候要按时间来施打。那么被问到说，如果美国的药厂疫苗生产不足，是否考虑向中国以及俄罗斯购买疫苗来使用？那么对此呢，资深官员表示，并不是说其他的国家或是公司有做什么措施。不过呢，一个疫苗如果要经过美国的 FDA 核准的话，本身药厂的做法就要透明，还要提供所有的研发还有实验的数据。言下之意呢，就是现在美国没有要考虑使用中国或是俄罗斯的疫苗。卡拉，
好的，感谢耀毅发自白宫的报道。另外，英国成为了首个开始给民众大规模接种新冠疫苗的国家。来看美国之音驻伦敦记者李奇维尔的报道。
Here at this clinic in Brighton, south of London, there has been a steady stream of people arriving to receive the first dose of the vaccine. And already, thousands of Britons have received the first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. First in line are the over 80s and the clinically vulnerable, and some frontline healthcare workers and care staff. The government has 4 million doses that it aims to administer before the end of the year, and a further 40 million doses on order.People I've been speaking to here say they are confident in the safety of the vaccine and that they feel privileged to be among the first to be able to take it and are hoping for some return to normality in the coming months. And the British government insists the vaccine is safe to take and that no corners have been cut in approving its safety. We don't yet know if the vaccine only prevents illness from COVID-19 or if it will also prevent transmission of the virus, and that could prove key in tackling the pandemic. The hope is that in the coming weeks, other vaccines will also be approved in countries around the world. Promising results from the Oxford University AstraZeneca vaccine trials, from the Moderna vaccine trial, and also from the Chinese vaccine that has been developed there, the United Arab Emirates reporting that it has 86% effectiveness, though it could prove some weeks before that is approved in Western countries. But there is a feeling that a milestone has been reached here in Britain.The first country to roll out a mass vaccination program using the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, a new chapter in the fight against the pandemic.
美国国务卿蓬佩奥再度就来自中国的威胁和挑战发表讲话。他在佐治亚理工学院表示，要阻止中共对美国学术教育和国家安全的侵蚀。来看详细报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥周三在佐治亚理工学院针对来自中国的威胁发表讲话，他强调了学术自由以及国家安全方面存在的威胁。
Americans must know how the Chinese Communist Party is poisoning the well of our higher education institutions for its own ends, and how those actions degrade our freedoms and American national security. If we don't educate ourselves, if we are not honest about what's taking place, we'll get schooled.By Beijing.
蓬佩奥表示，中国有近40万留学生在美国的大学学习，这是因为中国共产党无法企及美国的创新技术。
Much of the high-end industrial base inside of China is based on stolen technology or technology purchased from other nations. It's not homegrown. Beijing doesn't want Chinese researchers to stay here in the United States. Indeed,After they're trained, they want them to come back. They want to induce their return for the singular purpose of serving the socialist motherland. Look, the party's propaganda apparatus cannot tolerate pesky Americans or Chinese nationals exposing its bankrupt system, or the fact that the Chinese people can actually flourish when they are in free societies.
在佐治亚理工学院的讲台上，蓬佩奥指责美国一些大学为了获得中国政府的资金而允许中国盗窃美国的科学技术，并压制批评的声音。蓬佩奥强调，他所针对的是中国政府，而不是中国人民。他表示，美国政府要保护的不仅是美国人民的利益，也包括在美国学府就读的中国留学生的自由。
The government will help, but we need people to assist us. We need researchers.To be vigilant against fraud and theft, and the academic community to reject the CCP's financial siren songs. And we need students to truly stand for free speech. The free speech for themselves, those who grew up here in America, and especially the free speech of Chinese students who are on our campuses, who are here to study and learn and to improve their rights, their lives, and to enjoy the fruits of the freedom that we provide them here in the United States of America.
蓬佩奥指出了美中学术交流的不平等，他称中国不欢迎民主自由校园里培养出来的美国学生，包括蓬佩奥在内，特朗普政府官员近来持续对中国主席习近平和中国共产党施压。蓬佩奥的这场讲话安排在即将举行联邦参议员第二轮选举的佐治亚州，一月初的这场选举将决定国会参议院多数党席位的归宿。美国之音电视报道。
美国两党议员致信英特尔公司和英伟达公司，寻求更多有关销售先进计算机芯片的信息。据称，这些芯片被中国用来对新疆地区的维吾尔人和其他穆斯林少数族裔进行大规模监控，以及其他的侵犯人权的行为。纽约时报上个月的一篇报道曾说，在乌鲁木齐市云计算中心有许多运算速度居于世界前列的计算机，中国政府用这些计算机监视不计其数的新疆人，而这些计算机的芯片则由英特尔和英伟达两家公司提供。此外，人权观察周三发布的报告显示，中共新疆当局正在通过大数据来决定抓捕对象，甚至可以用电脑举报等理由实施抓捕。最近几年，新疆的监视设备开支大幅度攀升，地方当局在反恐的名义下，在全疆各地安装了人脸识别、虹膜扫描、 DNA 收集和人工智能设备。中国网信办周二发出通知，表示在新一轮的网络整顿运动中，把105个应用程序从中国的应用程序商店中移除，美国的旅游资讯应用程序猫图鹰也在其中。中国的这次净网行动11月初开始，中国称整顿的对象是移动应用程序传播色情、暴恐等违法违规信息，提供诈骗、赌博等违法违规服务。目前尚不知道中国官方为什么要下架美国的这款旅游应用程序。猫图鹰的主要服务是介绍旅游景点，并为人们发表对旅游相关的评论提供意见平台。中国的网络监管机构表示，目前被下架的这些应用程序只是此轮清网行动的开始，接着还有许多应用产品将会被清除。美国副总统彭斯周三在佛罗里达州肯尼迪航天中心主持国家太空理事会第八次会议，宣布了美国首批两个太空军基地，并指出应对中国威胁的重要性。彭斯重申了美国重返月球、登陆火星和探索太空的决心。他宣布将帕特里克空军基地和卡纳维拉尔角空军基地更名为帕特里克太空军基地和卡纳维拉尔角太空军基地，这是美国的第一批太空军基地。特朗普总统在一年前签署法案成立太空军。彭斯还指出，中国正迅速成为美国在太空领域的竞争对手，在国际经济和战略利益方面对美国构成威胁。他强调了美国成立太空军对于保护美国安全的重要性。网络平台 YouTube 周三表示，将开始删除有关2020年大选中存在大幅舞弊而造成结果偏差的虚假信息，来应对外界对于其宽松政策的质疑。不过，美国共和党议员质疑 YouTube 的做法是在打击言论自由。YouTube 公司发文表示，现在做出的决定是因为12月8日的安全港截止日期已到。安全港截止日期是美国国会指定各州确认总统选举结果的最后期限，它保证国会不得对已得出结果的各州选举人团提出质疑。除了威斯康星州外的各州都得出了大选结果，这基本上意味着美国国会必须接受各州将于本月14日投出的选举人票。来自密苏里州的共和党联邦参议员霍利在推特发文，批评 YouTube 的做法是打击言论自由。多家美国媒体报道说，当选总统拜登计划提名奥巴马时期的农业部长汤姆·维尔萨克重新执掌农业部。维尔萨克曾担任重要农业州爱奥华州长，在本次总统竞选期间也曾帮助拜登在中西部的农业州展开竞选活动。来看报道。
多家美国媒体报道说，美国当选总统拜登计划提名奥巴马时期的农业部长汤姆·维尔萨克重新执掌农业部。维尔萨克曾于1999年接替时任爱奥华州州长，后来在特朗普总统任内担任美国驻华大使的布莱斯塔德，执掌爱奥华这一重要农业州长达八年。从2009年开始，维尔萨克在奥巴马总统的两个任期内一直担任农业部长，曾经主导了美国在世界贸易组织对中国农产品补贴的投诉。
We have gathered evidence demonstrating that China is subsidizing production of wheat, corn, and rice at levels that are in violation of their WTO commitments. These subsidies disadvantage American grain producers seeking meaningful export opportunity in China.
威尔萨克目前领导美国乳品出口协会，在总统竞选期间也曾担任拜登团队的顾问，并积极帮助拜登在中西部农业州展开竞选活动。目前拜登团队尚未就威尔萨克可能的提名作出回应。此前当选总统拜登完成了包括国务卿、财政部长、国防部长等在内的多项重要提名。美国媒体星期二也披露说，拜登或将选择出身非裔的国会众议员马西亚·福吉担任住房和发展部部长。美国之音新闻报道。
特朗普时期有关白宫的回忆录频频出版，其中的绝大多数都为特朗普和他治下的白宫描绘了一幅相对负面的画像。而近来出版的一本名为《你被雇佣了》的回忆录却呈现了截然不同的图景。这本书的作者、前白宫经济顾问委员会首席经济学家凯西·穆里根日前接受了美国之音的专访，谈及他眼中的特朗普和白宫充满效率和成就。
The president himself is very productive, and the rest of us were trying to keep up. I mean, I was the chief economist in his CEA, and he was doing so much economic policy. It had took every talent that we had just to keep up. And the media hasn't been able to keep up. I mean, it's too hard. He's done too much. But especially around deregulation, he has changed so many.Regulations got rid of so many regulations that were so costly. It's hard to, there are hundreds of them. I'm not sure there's any one person who knows all the things that were done. But he gave us a productive environment and allowed us, you know, a lot of times in doing our work, we had to question what had been done in the past. And, you know, he wasn't really married to that. He wasn't there before. He wasn't a Republican before, a Democrat before. He didn't really care.If, you know, we found that the Republicans made a mistake in the Bush years or the Democrats made a mistake, there was very little constraints in what we were doing. So that also helped be productive.
全球受到新冠病毒大流行侵袭将近一年的时间，医生正在观察新冠长期后遗症患者，他们在新冠感染恢复数月后仍然受到困扰。来看美国之音记者纳尔逊的报道。
迈克尔·里根2020年初春感染了新冠病毒，到了五月，他认为最糟糕的时期已经过去了。但是到六月，他仍在咳血、呼吸困难、双手颤抖、不时昏倒、心率过速，而且他再也没有恢复自己的味觉和嗅觉。
I smell phantom smells, like I smell something burning at all times. I smell smoke, and often, you know, in the night, I'll wake up and in my pajamas, I'll run into the apartment, and I'll look to see if something is burning.And it's not, it's me.
里根的状态被医生称为新冠长期后遗症，即无法摆脱新冠病毒遗留的严重问题。他不是特例，有成千上万的患者都有同样的症状。里根和其他一些遭遇长期后遗症的人组成了一个在线小组，甚至与世界卫生组织的代表举行了一次视频会议。
One of the specific factors are that people have relapses, so you seem to get better and then you get worse. Your symptoms come back, you have new symptoms appearing at random times.
今天科学家们同意，新冠肺炎是一种系统性疾病，它影响人体各个器官，包括大脑和神经系统。 神经学家伊格尔·克拉尼克发表的最新研究认为，约有三分之一新冠肺炎幸存者出现了大脑功能的改变，症状包括迷失方向甚至昏迷，对于轻症患者甚至无症状患者来说也是如此。
It takes some time for people to go over the first minor respiratory presentation, then have a free interval out of, you know, without any symptoms, and then present those lingering neurologic manifestations.
长期后遗症的问题日益严重，专门诊所也开始在美国各地设立，专门帮助这样的患者。西雅图一家医疗中心的艾米·康普顿·菲利普斯医生是美国首位治疗新冠肺炎患者的医生，他正在尝试进一步了解长期后遗症问题。
We do have a large study going on now with citizen scientists trying to understand, you know, what are people's symptoms and what are they experiencing, starting from the time of their diagnosis.Through to really see what if we can figure out is it 35% that's long haul, is it 10%, is it 75%, you know, I don't know. So, but we're trying very hard to learn.
迈克尔·里根希望医生们能尽快得到答案。他像许多长期后遗症患者一样，仍然无法工作。他所能做的也就是遛狗一会儿。美国之音尼尔逊，纽约报道。
大流行的冲击，许多小企业主面临困境，退伍军人也不例外。好在有许多的非营利组织向他们伸出了援手。今天我们一起去了解北卡罗来纳州一家健康中心的故事。
三年前，美国陆军退伍军人尼可·沃尔科特在北卡罗来纳州的费耶特维尔开设了一家提供漂浮疗法的健康中心。原本一切顺利，但随后新冠病毒流行开来，他被迫暂停营业了三个月。
So when the revenue dropped 95%, we didn't know what we were going to do.
沃尔科特决定向多个非营利组织申请援助，其中包括家园防线行动。这家非营利组织通过租金补贴、水电费补贴，还有食品援助等方式，帮助面临财务困境的军人家庭。在沃尔科特提交的50多份援助申请中，他已经收到了10份回复。
So if we hadn't found a lot of our grants that I found, we probably wouldn't be here today.
沃尔科特的生意在5月下旬重新营业。
And I just knew that my vision for the company was so much bigger, and it didn't stop with something like COVID. It had to go on. And so I had to be able to find a way to make sure that it was going to continue.
根据联合国的消息，全球65岁及以上的人口增长的速度比其他任何年龄层都更快。而现在，虚拟现实技术被用来帮助看护工作者培养更多的理解和同理心。来看美国之音记者李爱琳的报道。
Emma,
who is that?设想罹患阿尔茨海默症或有视听困难等这些和年龄有关的健康挑战，现在可以通过 VR, 也就是虚拟现实亲身体验。
It's part of our own future of aging. So if we can see ourselves in older people that might have these slight changes, just a matter of patience and knowledge could help reduce the stress and stigma of that disease.
加利肖创办了体现实验室。这家公司将用户带进老年人的世界，让人们更理解他们的现实。这个体验包括听到阿尔茨海默症导致记忆丧失的相关混淆以及视觉障碍。肖的母亲罹患阿尔茨海默症，她意识到即使专业看护者也发现和她母亲的互动具有挑战性。
Some would treat her like a child, and she would sense that, and you know, she would kind of push back and say, I don't want to be talked down to like I'm a child.
公司提供体验虚拟现实所需的软硬件，帮助用户培养感同身受的体验。
Today we use a live action film that's also blended into a game engine so it becomes interactive.
海梅·汉南斯使用体现实验室来培训护士生。他说这个有黄斑病变的虚拟现实体验让他大开眼界。
When you're in the headset, looking kind of to the side to view what's going on, I saw that tilt and I thought, I've seen that with patients so many times and not recognized it as an opportunity to say,How's your vision?
目前体现实验室只销售产品给老龄服务机构。 加利肖说，重要的是虚拟现实将指导性的讨论与反思结合，来处理用户的体验，好让他们知道如何将所学付诸行动。美国之音李爱玲洛杉矶报道。
在新冠大流行期间，越来越多的学生在家里上学，但是在他们的家里并不总有为他们学习而安排的地方。美国之音报道了一个高中生的故事。
My name is Kobe Stanley. I'm 17 years old and I'm a junior at Woodgrove High School. Right now we're at Moss Building and Design in Chantilly. They've offered me space for a build day. We're building 50 desks. 30 of them are going to schools and 20 are going to kids in need who've reached out to me personally. I came across a group called Desk by Dads in Maryland. It's a group of parents who are creating desks for children in need and giving them through the school system.I saw the idea and I wanted to give back for a while now after moving here because I love this community and I figured this was a great way to do it, to use my skills. It's super fun working with wood and seeing what I can create and I really enjoy it. When I first put out my Facebook page saying what I was going to do, it kind of went semi-viral in the community overnight. Everyone just kept resharing it. So donations were plentiful. People have been really generous with it, soThankfully, donations have covered everything, so that's awesome. I'm just really glad the community's been able to fund this project.
I think that Colby is doing a wonderful thing. We noticed that there was a new organization that popped up on Facebook.
Hey, everybody. This is Colby Samide from Desks for Distance, and today I'm going to be showing you how to build this simple...yet good-looking desk.
We realized very quickly that this was something that we could get involved in because he had received so many orders for desks that he couldn't fulfill them quickly enough. Desks are hard to get these days. Once most of the schools in the area turned to virtual learning, we kind of pounced upon this idea to do a build-a-palooza, as we call it for today. We have a wonderful relationship with Lowe's Home Improvement. They provided all of the materials.We provided a lot of the labor to put the desks together, our Moss employees, and we're asking for volunteers all day long to help sand and finish the desks.
Potato salad?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
And we also had our lunch catered by Soul Foods.
Start here, then go here.
We reached out to My Guys Moving and Storage, and they're helping to deliver the desks to those who have reached out to ask Colby for the desks.
Slide it in. Perfect. Delivering the desk is the best part.I try to deliver them whenever I can. It makes me feel really good when I see the face of the parents or the kids when they see the desk.
Ever since I can remember, little toddler loved to build things and sort of tinker around with how things would work or fit together. He has built me several things. He was sweet. He surprised me for my birthday with a daybed, bought the materials and made it in the garage. I think he's learned so much just when he started doing this, I guess, 3.5 weeks ago.
Top of the board.
It was just the initial wanting to really, you know, give back and help a few families if he could.
That's what my main goal is right now, to try to get the message out and have people recreate this idea in their communities.
感谢您收看《美国观察》，我们下次再见。
Critical for us to address these vulnerable populations' needs while redoubling our efforts to find a sustainable, long-term solution to the crisis. The government of Myanmar's actions are essential to the long-term goal of enabling Rohingya refugees to return home. Further, more must be done to address the root causes of conflict in the Rakhine State. Decades of violence have benefited no one.